Welcome to Season 3, Episode 11. I'm going to be chatting with John Flynn about remote work.
Welcome to Transforming Procurement Podcast with Lourdes Koss, the show dedicated to help procurement professionals in their transformation journey. Lourdes believes that procurement professionals have the potential to add great value by becoming the best version of themselves.
Hello, friends. Welcome to this episode of Transforming Procurement with Lourdes Koss. Today, I have a treat. I'm talking with my good friend and colleague here, John Flynn. Hi, John. Welcome to Transforming Procurement.
Hi, Lourdes. Good. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Well, thank you for accepting the invitation. Glad that you're here. But first of all, why don't you introduce yourself to the audience?
Sure. My name is John Flynn. I am a procurement officer for Oregon State University. And thank you for having me today, Lourdes. I think the topic is very interesting, and I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Yes, and we have a topic that is very current. Thank you, John. The topic for today is working remotely. What do you think about that? We'll see what John thinks when he is, you're living the dream, right, John?
I am. My position is 100% remote. I do not have an office to go to. In addition to it being remote, we've heard a lot about paperless environments. When I was started with Oregon State University, they did not issue me a printer. And I can honestly tell you, I have not printed one piece of paper. So, you know, that's been an interesting part of it too. Because prior to this, I came from an office that was highly reliant on paper and also was 100% in the office. No flexibility for hybrid or remote work.
Wow, that's interesting. That's a big change. So now I've been reading about generational diversity in the workplace and the different interests that each generation is focused on. But remote work is something that each generation experienced with COVID. We all experienced it. Some of us were able to make that pivot right away. Others were less happy about making that virtual option work for them. So we all have our preferences. I like the options of virtual, but I also like to see people. So John, let's talk about your transition, because you went from an in-person environment, right? And then now you've moved to working in an environment that is remote, completely remote, except for maybe some travel, right? You are completely remote. So tell us about that transition. How did you determine, first of all, that remote was better for you?
Well, for me, I think it depends on what stage of your career you're at, Lourdes, and what you expect out of the working environment. During my career, I think this is the point where I was looking for something that was 100% remote, Lourdes. For me, it made a lot of sense to, you know, for what I wanted in my work life and what I wanted in my personal life. I just felt a remote position was more of a fit. It all depends on what your comfort level is with working remote. And I think a lot of it has to do with your situation where you're doing the remote work. I mean, are you in a comfortable home where you have like a dedicated office? That might work very well. If you're working in a very cramped apartment, maybe it's not working so well for you. If you're expecting some more social interactions out of your work, you know, maybe 100% remote isn't for you. I think it all depends, but I think the key is employers need to be sensitive and flexible to the needs of their workforce. So going forward, at least I believe that the hybrid model is going to be what we see in the future.
Interesting. So you talked about your own environment and what are what do you have or where are you located and how are you set up to really, that will lead you to have these different preferences? If you're a, you know, comfortable environment where you have your dedicated room and area for work, then it's preferable. So what adjustments did you have to make to prepare to work remotely?
Well, first I have to give kudos to my employer, Oregon State University. They have, in my mind, they've set me up for success in this environment. I work with on a project team with members located all over the country and different time zones. And from the start, they really had a terrific onboarding process for me. I feel very much part of the team. I was giving the technology that was needed to do it successfully. You know, we use tools like Slack, Microsoft Teams. We use them in our regular course of business. I was trained on how to use these tools. So I think that is a big part of your experience. And for me, it's been a positive one. Is, you know, is your employer comfortable with the remote situation? And are they giving you the tools necessary to work in that fashion? And in my case, I could say that, you know, they did a fantastic job of getting me onboarded with the remote process.
Wow, that's very interesting. You know, previous podcast, I was talking about happy people and more productive people, bottom line. And look at you. I mean, that is exactly what you're saying. They set you up for success. So you're a happy person working with in an environment. It is your environment, but the leadership is helping you position yourself in a way that you can be successful. That is terrific. I really like that. Now, did you set up an office from home? What did you do?
I did. I am sitting in one of our sons. Our oldest son, Connor, is on his own now. He's him and his wife are living in New Jersey. So I'm actually in Connor's old bedroom. Thank you very much, Connor. And, you know, we've kind of done some things to make it feel like an office. The university set me up with two nice monitors, a good laptop, a docking station, lighting, everything I needed to be very comfortable.
I mentioned
before, you know, going paperless. Well, if you're totally paperless, you do need good monitors, especially if you're reading documents. And I have two large monitors that have been very helpful in what I have to do day to day, which is a lot of document reviews. I think you have to look at your internet. We made the investment of updating from 200 MPS to 400. That was a huge, it was something that we needed to make it successful because one of my sons who's home is a gamer and that takes up a lot of bandwidth. So we've, you know, we haven't had to fight over any bandwidth issues. So that's, again, that's something you want to take an inventory of if you're going to be working remote is, you know, do you have enough internet bandwidth to get the job done? So things like that between, you know, what my employer has done for me and, you know, what I've done for myself, I think I have a nice, comfortable situation where it allows me to be productive and very comfortable.
That sounds terrific. So so you've talked about some of the things that you had to do. What are some of the advantages and disadvantages of working remotely? What's that balance that you had to, you know, work through?
Well, I'll start with the advantages. You know, first there's the biggest one I think for anybody, especially if you live in a larger city, is the lack of commuting. Whatever time that you save in terms of your time and the expense of getting back and forth to you know, to work. There's also an environmental, you know, we are reducing our carbon footprint by, you know, reducing our commuting. So that's a good thing.
That's great.
So, you know, that's the biggest. So that time saved is work I either, invest in myself or, you know, maybe give a little bit back to my employer. So that's one thing. I think the other thing is being able to maybe control your environment a little bit. Some of us worked in tight, cramped offices where if one person gets a cold or gets another illness, everybody is going to get it. You don't have to worry about that. You have a little bit more control over that situation, which we have found out, you know, in the COVID world is a very big thing. And for me, just the freedom to work, you know, when I want to work. If, you know, my commute went from 20 miles to roughly 20 feet. So,
wow.
Those are the obvious, the obvious benefits. Just having more control over your workday and your working situation. I do have some plans. Upstate New York, it's pretty cold in the wintertime. So if I need to go to a warmer place, during the winter months, I have the flexibility to do that without having to take a leave of absence or a vacation from my position.
Right. Cause you can take the office with you.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
That sounds like a great setup. So I'm happy for you.
And I'll kind of hit some of the other things, Lourdes, that might be, disadvantages. There are times when you do miss the lack of socialization and seeing people. It does kind of affect your mental state sometime if you don't have a lot of interaction. So it's important to build in that socialization is part of your activities outside of the workday. I think that's a big one. And especially for people who maybe are newer to the workforce, I think that is something that 100% remote work doesn't offer. Communications, we learn a lot about communications from body language. Mm-hmm. If you're in a Zoom meeting, you might not be able to pick up on all the body language that you could when you're working with somebody face to face.
That's right.
If you're meeting somebody for the first time, it's a little bit hard to get to know them in a virtual world. So, those are the big things I think that are disadvantages but you can overcome those just with a little bit of strategy and trying to build some socialization when you're a remote worker.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about the building that interaction and how can you be more strategic about that. And so I know that you work out, and I'm sure so this has had some health benefits for you as well. And you can get that interaction maybe in the gym or maybe in, somewhere else. But let me just kind of stay with the workplace for a minute. And now, do you miss your just being in the office environment, the little chit chat that goes on, the how was your weekend, kind of, just the things that you don't actually call somebody that you're not really close to that you would normally, you won't normally have those conversations, but you wouldn't necessarily call them to say, oh, how was your weekend? unless you really know them.
Yeah, it is. That is something you miss, because when you do work remotely, you tend to just jump into your work as opposed to maybe warming up with a little bit of chit chat with your peers in the office. That is something that you do miss. One thing I've kind of learned is that if you're having meetings, don't necessarily schedule them back to back. So you're starting at, you finish one at 10 o'clock and you're starting the next one at 11:01. Try to build in a little transition time, 5 minutes or so, where you can get your head together for the next meeting. When you're in an office, you can do that just by walking from one area to the other area or taking a break. One of the things people did is they schedule meetings back to back to back to back without allowing transition time in between. So, exactly. And that does tire you out, because you do need some mental time to prepare for your next meeting or next activity, whatever it is. And when you were in an office, maybe you took a short walk. You know, that's how you prepared yourself. So in a remote world, it's kind of important to build that into your day. You know, between meetings, you know, do you take a short stretch walk? Do you, do a few chair exercises, you go down, get yourself a cup of coffee, whatever it is that you do at the office. I think you can build those things into your remote work experience as well. But you do miss the social interactions of an office for sure.
I'm sure that you have to be very intentional about, you know, doing those things, taking those mental breaks and actually scheduling time to talk to people, to socialize and you know, just kind of creating an environment and a situation for yourself that it is conducive to being productive and being happy and continuing to be happy with your situation. So I know that you're very happy in your current situation, but if you had to transition again or go through this kind of transition all over again, what would you do differently?
I think the biggest thing would be to be, you know, when I started, I probably was 100% focused on work and the things we've talked about, the transition, the building in the social interaction. I really didn't have a plan. It just kind of evolved. Mm-hmm. So if I had to do it all differently, I would kind of build those breaks into my schedule, you know, from the get-go. I think that would maybe reduce the stress associated with taking on a new challenge. Let's face it, anytime you take on a new job, it's stressful because you want to do well and there's a lot to learn. So maybe taking a little bit more, paying a little more attention to the, you know, the emotional sides and needs and the social sides of work. But again, you know, my employer has just been fabulous in paying attention to those elements of work. I got a chance to really know everybody on the team on a personal level through our Zoom meetings. And, that was very helpful.
Oh, that's nice. So you all turn on your cameras, basically.
We do. Yeah. In initial meetings, we do. Yeah.
That's important because part of the communication, a large part of the communication is body language and face expressions. When you don't turn on your camera, then it's like, you might as well be talking on the phone. And imagining what that person, how that person is reacting, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think when you do turn on the camera, there is a little more, you know, interaction and connection with people. So it's not to say you have to have your camera on all the time, but at least part of the time you should have your camera on when you're meeting with somebody, especially for the first time.
Yeah. It does help. It does help. Now, it would be interesting to see how things evolve in the workplace, because what I hear is that the younger generation, well, I mean, they experienced COVID, this lockdown, right, that we had, and we've been in this for a couple of years now. So, but of course, I mean, they are more tech savvy than previous generations. Even before COVID, I would hear people talk about the difference between them growing up and their teenagers. This generation kind of, they grew up with not just a phone, but a smartphone. Many experienced their parents getting furlough and dismissed or no real loyalty in their from their employers. So I wonder, I mean, there's like a lot going on there. So I wonder what the outcome of that experience as a child, you know, it's going to be as they enter adulthood. And I heard, I was actually listening to this gentleman in Live to Lead event that younger generations are more interested in flex time, which is something that many organizations have not come to terms with. So, I mean, digging into those scenarios, I'm sure we'll find like leadership issues, generational differences that may color the mindset and the way people see things. So I imagine that social historians and maybe psychologists and researchers are already studying the effects of COVID and mass shootings and all of these things to the newer generations and the things that they had to live through so far. So now, looking into the future, what do you think of remote work and how newer generations would approach their job search? Do you think that they will maybe be more likely to gravitate towards this type of environment where you can work remotely or come to the office, you know, kind of like hybrid? What are your thoughts about that?
I think that the next generation of workers is going to want flexibility. And, you know, flexibility could be, you know, different options to work. You know, I think if for younger people, it's there's somebody that's new, well, not even younger people, but just say if you are new to a new city and you've moved to a new area, you maybe do want that social interaction of going to an office or some kind of work hotel or cafe settings where you can work with people. So they may not want to work remotely from their home office 100% of the time. They're going to want to be flexible on where they can work. Not only that, and when they could work, if they want to take off a Friday and then maybe make up the time on a Sunday, give them the flexibility to do that. I think the organizations that are going to be successful in the future are going to listen to their employees and say, okay, I'm more focused on what gets done than how you do it or the hours that you keep. Mm-hmm. I think that organizations and companies that put down policies without the input of their, you know, their employees, they're going to lose good people. Mm-hmm. So I just think flexibility is the key, not only from the job, you know, the employee side, but the employer side. So, you know, I don't think it's going to be 100%, you know, remote. I don't think it's going to be 100% in the office. The office itself could look totally different. It could look more like a home setting than, you know, than a, than the old office. I see offices being more cozy, so to speak. If you want people to come back to an office, you have to give them a reason to come back. If you had an uncomfortable, cramped office, why would anybody want to go back to that?
Exactly. The environment is so important for everyone, not just younger generations, but any generation, because it has a sort of a mental effect. You feel like overwhelmed when the place is cramped and all that. And, you know, this is something that affects government as well as private sector. I want to say that government may be more rigid, but large organizations seem to have that rigidity of government, maybe because they're so big and there are so many differences in the personnel that they have to hire. So, I mean, what do you think about that, John?
Well, you bring up a good point. It's not just government, Lourdes. You know, Apple. Mm. It gave the mandate that employees are to return to the office 3 days a week. You know, and that goes for everybody. Tesla had a back to work, come back to the office mandate for employees. So, I think when it's rigid like that, you are going to lose some good people, especially if they have options.
Right.
It's really important to, like we said, if you're telling people you want them back in the office, you have to make the office a comfortable place where they can be productive. And they also have to, you know, to give some value. What's the value in going back to office? If you're forced to go back to the office and you're not happy, let's face it, you're going to look for opportunities elsewhere.
Right. And feel safe in that office environment, because whether we want it or not, if someone comes to work and they're maybe not yet aware that they shouldn't be there because they're ill, right? We then are exposed You know, people are exposed, they bring it back home. And so, you know, nobody wants that, right?
Because
we don't know what people have at home. Now, so I think that organizations that adapt to the current changes will have a better opportunity to survive future changes. And so being adaptable is definitely an asset to organizations. That only happens when their leadership adapt an innovative way of thinking, right? So what are your thoughts about the role of leadership as newer generations enter the workplace, or as we just maybe cope and adapt to whatever changes are coming up? Because we don't know. I mean, we're just living in changing times, and change is the norm, right?
I think leaders have to be knowledgeable about all technology that's available to communicate with their team, and using it, not focusing on one area, but trying to use everything at their disposal holistically. It might be the type of thing where if you're leading a remote team, you do have to do some kind of in-person meeting to get everybody back on the same page. And, you know, that has to happen quarterly or monthly, you know, whatever the situation is. I think one approach for leadership is the one approach to leadership in the future is not going to be successful. I think that leaders have to be knowledgeable about all avenues to communicate with their workforce, and not just communicate, just to listen. You know, that's the other thing. Listening, you know, speaking is one part of communication, but listening is a very important thing. There's a lot of organizations that are doing very good about the speaking, but not very, very well on the listening.
That is so
leaders,
true.
Leaders really have to be listen to their workforce. It's now it's more critical than ever, because if somebody is thousands of miles away and you don't see them face to face, sometimes you see them once a year, sometimes you never see them. Right. It's really important to listen to what's going on with them.
Yeah, that's that is so true. That is so true. I mean, listening is sort of underrated, and listening is just so important. People want to feel heard. People want to share their ideas, but if they know that people are not listening, why even bother, right? Why spend that effort? So, well, John, I think this is a great topic. I'm sure we're going to be talking about this some more, but what are some final thoughts that you may have, recommendations, things that you think everyone should know?
Well, as far as, you know, what I would tell anybody is that is to just explore their options. Don't look for a solution that's strictly remote or strictly hybrid. Try to think about what you want in your work-life balance and what working situation works best for you. If you're the type of person, you're in a very busy household, you need a little bit of time alone, maybe going to an office a few days of work is a good thing for you. Everybody's situation is totally different. And just, Lourdes, I know you're always very good about this. Just paying attention to trends, you know, news, what's going on in the world. How is the world of work evolving? And take ownership of your skills. Learn new technologies. If there's if there's a communications platform that you're not familiar with, you know, take the time to learn it. Become proficient at the platforms that are being used in the workforce. So you do have options. I think that really doesn't take that much time. There's so many online tools for learning these days. I do a lot with LinkedIn Learning when I want to learn something new. You know, take ownership of your skills. Don't wait for your employer or organizations to train you. Just make that investment in yourself.
That's so true. Thank you, John, for saying that, because I think that it's important to be the owner of your destiny, right? To take ownership of that future that you want. When we give that power to somebody else, now we're becoming the effect of someone else's cause. They decide whether we grow or don't. So right. That should be our decision, that we should be the cause of our effect. We should be the ones making those decisions and take back that power to grow in whatever way we want. Have that also that clarity in what is it that you want to achieve. And kind of like what you said, John, with whether it's remote or in person or hybrid, whatever that is, each person has their own preferences. Each person has a different set of situations. And it's not one size fits all. It's having the opportunity to explore those options that exist and finding the one that is right for you. So there's a little bit for everyone, right? Well, John, I want to thank you for spending this time with me. Thank you for sharing your thoughts and your experience as you transition to a virtual environment. And you've added so much value to everyone providing those insights. So thank you so much for all of that. Thank you again, John, for all the value that you've added to us today. Okay, friends, that's all we have for today. I hope that you enjoy the interview with John Flynn, talking about remote work and making that transition. Remember to check out the show notes for the Live to Lead link. Don't miss out on this opportunity. You can get access to view the event for a 3-day consecutive day period. If you work with teams or have different generations in your workplace, I recommend that you get a ticket. You'll have great insights, a worthwhile investment in your growth and leadership. You still have time, so don't delay. I'm also putting the link for my free leadership newsletter if you are interested. So, for now, enjoy your day and be well, my friend.
Until next time, add value, grow, and transform.